Thank you, Kane. 807 now on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. If you're a small business owner, you probably know the right hire can have a huge impact on your business. So it's crucial to make sure your job post reaches the most qualified candidates. You could try posting on job boards, but do you really know who will see it? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. And those insights are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. It's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And right now, you can go to linkedin.com/WAVH to get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/WAVH for $50 off. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think. 808 now on FM Talk 106.5. And Sean Sullivan down on Dolphin Island for the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, leaving myself and Kelly Finley behind here in the studios. How dare you, Sean?
I dare. But listen, we'll all be back together this evening for the nappies. So listen, we're just put up for a little bit of time as I am on Dolphin Island for day one of the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Was actually here last night for the Liars Contest as well. So the fishing got started at 5 this morning with the cannon shot, and people will fish through Sunday afternoon. Now, I wanted to talk about what going on other than the fishing. The fishing, obviously, the big deal, the reason we are here. But also, if you want to come down and check out the fish as the weigh-in comes, which is really fun because you'll see the fish as they come up to the weigh scales. You also see the fish in the big ice box where they have some of the special fish they keep for people to look at, and the live tank where they put some of the live speckled trout and other fish in for the kids to see. That's really cool. But also, they're really wanting the JCs. I talked to them last night. I said, guys, are y'all getting in the music promotion business? Because it seemed that way for the last 5 or 6 years, as they have the world's biggest multi-day fishing tournament going on. And now they're working on a pretty darn nice music festival. Last night, Rolling in the Hay played. I love those guys. They played right after the Liars Contest. Today, Blues in Trouble. They start at 4. And then a crowd and regionally famous, actually, I think they're famous all over the country, the Molly Ringwalds are playing tonight at 7:30. I know people dig the Molly Ringwalds. Oh, 7:30 on the main stage right here at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, main rodeo site on Dolphin Island. Then tomorrow night, or tomorrow afternoon, 3:30, Prime Country plays. And then at 5, the Red Clay Strays. And on Sunday, Hunter Landry at noon. And then Keith, the Mailman Burns, and the Back Pew Riders at 3 o'clock. So they've got music going on every day. That's all free for you to come look at the fish, check out the...
Uh-oh. Somebody's
all right.
There he is.
There he is.
I'm back.
We lost you for one hot second.
I was just describing funnel cakes.
How convenient.
Okay.
How convenient.
But listen, there's great music going on. There's great music going on all 3 days. It is free for the family to come on down. You can come check out the fish, check out the music, and enjoy the vibe down here on Dolphin Island now through Sunday. All right, and I know we were talking earlier in the show about the tragedy and the fatalities there in Table Rock Lake near Branson, Missouri, with that duck boat tour, and had a chance to talk to Scott Tindall from Gulf Coast Ducks earlier this morning to talk about some of the differences between what was going on there at Table Rock Lake and what goes on right here in the Mobile River.
Yeah, and since that interview, Sean, thank you very much for that intro. Unfortunately, that number has gone up. The death toll has gone up to 13 people confirmed dead.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very sad situation. 31 people were on this amphibious vessel. Scott takes the time to explain to us what that means, how they enter the water, what makes Branson different from here in the port city, and what you need to know, of course. Dalton.
Yeah, and right now, divers searching for four people they say still missing after it's Ride the Ducks is what this company is named out there in Branson, Missouri, and they take tourists on these trips on Table Rock Lake. And I was actually just a month ago on a Ride the Ducks tour in Branson. It was on a different part of Table Rock Lake. Right now they're searching for these missing people right next to the Branson Bell. It's a showboat where they have a dinner show on the riverboat that goes around the lake. But right now where that big riverboat is docked is where they're searching for these people that that unfortunately did not come up after this duck boat went underwater.
And when they went out last night, there was two boats that went out at one time. So if you're wondering wondering, when you see the footage that's viral right now, who was the people that were able to catch the footage, or how did they have that access? Well, the first boat made it back safely to land. And you can't even imagine what they're going through this morning, knowing that now the new numbers in that 13 people lost their lives. Here's our interview with Scott Tindall earlier this morning.
Right now, it's time to go back to the phone lines really quickly. Scott Tindall with Gulf Coast Ducks joining us this morning. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Scott. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. We wish it was on better terms, but our friends were just waking up, finding out that 11 people have died in a recent accident in Branson, Missouri, and they were on one of these duck boats. And so, of course, our first question is, what do we need to know before we come on our next duck boat trip? You, of course, run a very fun business. We've taken our family on there as well. But give us the ins and outs of what we need to know this morning.
Sure. It is a fun business. We love having fun with the ducks. It's also a very serious business, and safety is such an important concern in everyone's business, but especially in the duck boat business. The number one thing you need to know when you take a tour with us is that safety is the first thing and the last thing we think about all the time. And we work very closely with the Coast Guard. And, you know, what makes Mobile so unique is that we get to get in and out of the water three times. Every other duck tour in America splashes you in the water once, and we splash you three times. With that means that we're very close to shore all the time. We also have to monitor the weather constantly. You know, we know how the weather can be around here. You just got through talking with Dr. Bill. Things can change in a hurry. And so we're constantly monitoring the weather, and it's important that you make good safety decisions and you don't approach the water in high winds. So part of what we do through working with the Coast Guard is they actually get to monitor and let us know when we can and can't go to the water. So they issue us advisories. And so we work with them basically every day.
You know, news coming out this morning that from the National Weather Service there, a severe thunderstorm warning was in effect. We're hearing about winds as fast as 74 miles an hour. There were two boats out there, so the first was able to make it in safely, but the second wasn't. Describe for those who have never been on one of your duck boats the safety aspect when it comes to the life vests and how, once again, you are in coordination with the U.S. Coast Guard.
Right. The issue up there in Table Rock Lake is a little different because it's a non-navigable body of water, right? So they have different Coast Guard rules on their lake than we have in the river and in the bay. So for us, you know, they don't have to coordinate with the Coast Guard near as much as we do because they are on a lake. Now for us, you know, we do have, the duck can only hold 35 guests, but we have 38 adult life jackets. We have 36 children life jackets. We also have infant life jackets. They're above your head. You're not required to wear them while on tour, but you do have them readily available for you. We do a safety speech where our captains can inform our guests about all the safety features. You know, one of the other differences between us and kind of what happened in Branson is because that's a non-navigable body of water, they don't actually have to have licensed captains on board. And because we do, we're in the river and the bay, all of our captains had at least a 25-ton captain's license. And that's part of the difference there.
That's
and
a huge difference.
In Branson, which was just so sad.
That is a huge difference.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, our guys are very highly trained. They're very specialized. Most of our captains have been doing this for a very long time. And for us, you know, they know our safety standards and they know our positions. And, you know, when we have questions, we're in immediate contact with them over the radio. And, you know, you may have been on a tour before where we stopped and paused at the top of the ramp before we entered the water. And a lot of people ask about that. And it's just simple for us. We're just going to wait for the high winds of the storm to pass. We'll carry on. We'll play music, tell jokes, and have a good time. And I like to tell people, you know, if your tour gets extended by an extra 30 minutes, don't worry. We won't make you pay extra for that.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning, Scott. And I know tough news to have to call in. Yeah, Kelly?
Well, just one more question. I'm sorry. For those who are not familiar with this amphibious vessel, explain how you go from, you know, land to water the way you do, because that may be a little confusing as to for those who have never been a part of a duck boat ride.
Sure. So the way it works is, you know, it is basically a 33-foot long bus. And 12 and a half feet tall, but it is watertight, and so you can drive up down a ramp and hit the water, and you basically are a boat. A lot of times people ask what happened to the wheels. The wheels do keep spinning while we're underway in the water, and we have a propeller that we engage once we enter the water. So we do our tour on water and then drive right back up the ramp because the wheels are still down there spinning. They just pull us right back up the ramp.
My goodness. Scott Tindall, thank you for joining us this morning with
Gulf Coast. All right, and that was our conversation with Scott Tindall of Gulf Coast Ducks earlier this morning. Once again, that duck boat tour in Branson, Missouri, 13 people now. Mm. Pronounced dead from this awful accident overnight.
Yeah, and we were talking about the conditions, the weather conditions, and as to how windy it was. We've seen 60 miles per hour. We've seen 74 miles per hour. We do know, though, that a severe thunderstorm warning was issued in that area Thursday night. So they're continuing to look for those missing people, and seven people were taken to the hospital. We'll stay on top of this tragedy. We'll keep you posted, of course, on air and online on our respective social media platforms.
All right, 8:17 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. More on the way. Kelly Finley, myself, Dalton Norwick, and Sean Sullivan live from Dauphin Island, the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Sure glad to have you along. Sean, Dalton, Kelly, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic, and of course you at 343-0106 for the text line or the phone line. And yeah, we split the bill a little bit here. The gang is separated on either end of Mobile County. Well, I mean, y'all aren't in Citronelle. Y'all are in Mobile, but I'm on the south end here in Dauphin Island, and it is the 85th Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. And I thought about this earlier. I was mulling things over this morning, and you know, where we live, we have such traditions, such great traditions. And when you have a city over 300 years old, you've got you often measure things that are traditions in hundreds of years. Think about Mardi Gras and things like that. But in modern traditions, think about the fact now, this is the 85th annual, it's the 85th Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. They've been actually operating for a couple more years than that. And you think about the swath of time, anywhere else in the country, something that had been operating for 85 years would seem like historic, like the Pleistocene. You know what I'm saying? It would seem so very, very old anywhere else. Around here, we're like, okay, that's like teenager stuff, or at least middle age, but not old, in a city that's over 300 years. But hats off to the JCs. Think about that. 85 runnings of the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo from back in the day. And you can go back and do the history of this rodeo back when people would have to get to this remote island down here to fish, and what they've seen in changes over time, whether it was building the when they're building the first bridge down here, or after the bridge was knocked out after Frederick and conducting that, and just to come and rebuild the facility bigger and better. And they do all this work all year long to throw one big three-day fishing tournament slash party. And it's 85 of these. And I just want to point that out. I mean, we kind of get, I guess, somewhat jaded living somewhere that we've been doing this for hundreds of years and this other thing for hundreds of years. But you know what? Well done, JC's. Pretty awesome. 85 years of this fishing tournament, and it's still going on strong. I mean, looking at the crowd last night, I've not checked on the ticket count this morning, but the crowd for the Liars contest last night was robust, to say the least. And so it's great to see this tradition, which is, I'll say, a modern tradition in our area, carrying on. And it's something that I would suggest. You're not a fisherman, that's fine. You're not a fishing family, that's fine. Although I would encourage you to get out and fish. It's one of the great things in life for families and bring people together. And where we live, there's so much of it, so many different ways to do it. It can be so very, very affordable as well to do it. But even if you're not interested at all in it, do one of those things, those cultural check-it-off-your-list things, and make sure, if it's not this year, sometime soon, to stop on down on this weekend on Dauphin Island, check out the rodeo site, check out the, we'll use the term, goings-on, and check out all that and the fish, and now with the live music and everything, and check that off your list. I have a feeling you'll come back year after year, but this is just one of these kind of tradition things that I think that may sometimes, in a city that is as old as ours, kind of get left in the lurch. But yeah, 85 years of this, and what a great, great event on Dauphin Island. So I'd love to see y'all down here.
Sean, wonderful with all those goings-ons that you mentioned. You know, we already have people calling saying, okay, what do I need to do to get in on part of the action when it comes to tickets? And I'm glad you mentioned the website so that they can get questions answered right there.
Yeah, I'll say this. This is the rub. If you don't have your tickets yet, you're not getting them. So as of cannon shot at 5 o'clock this morning, when the cannon went boom, no more ticket sales. So now if you don't have tickets, you're still welcome to fish. And I imagine Mayor Collier and the whole town council here at Dolphin Island would invite you to come down and fish and be part of it. But the tickets, they are cut off right now. So you had to have your tickets by this morning with the start of the tournament. But remember, you don't have to have a ticket to come in and check out the fish getting weighed in. All the musical events I was listing for you earlier, and the fair party-like atmosphere that goes on down here, you don't have to have tickets for any of that. It's just us that are fishing that have to have tickets. You want to come down here, check it out, have fun. No ticket needed, and the doors are open for you. You come down, and I would say when you start getting on the island, start looking for a place to park, because we will have limited parking places, I'm sure, by this evening on through the weekend.
And you don't need a ticket to get a funnel cake either, as far as I can
No, understand. You do not. I have maybe license. They did card me earlier for funnel cake, but... nothing beyond that. And you were talking about how much the JCs get into this. If y'all will check out the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5, one of the JCs actually had ADSFR, so Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, shaved into one side of his head and the number 85 shaved into the other. I've documented that. I stopped the man and said, I got to get a picture of this. I documented it, and it's on the Twitter feed. And it's nice.
That's why I called it true dedication.
It's true something. Y'all check it out.
How'd the Liars contest go last night?
So, I was saying in the 6 o'clock hour, because I'll shoot you straight, crowd was great, energy was good. Some of the lines were good, and then there were some, I don't know if I can blame it on internet generation or whatever, but some of the young liars here are not bringing the skill set. Huh. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm probably going to make some parents angry. There's one, I think her name was Aubrey. She was very, very cute. Her story was good because she caught a giant swordfish by herself. That was cute. She won because it was a good lie, good story, and she's cute. So, I mean, we all wanted to vote for her. But, you know, the other kid that flipped the crowd off, I don't know if that's comedy. Maybe it is in the internet age. And, of course, Mike Thompson or Captain T-Bone spinning a great yarn, as always, which has him a perennial winner down here. So there were some good lines, but there were some that I wanted the gong. You know, the old gong show gong,
or the Chuck Berry, right?
Yeah, but hey, it's funny to hear the stories that are spun down here, and everybody's just down here for the party on Thursday night because the party's big. And don't worry, the party will be big tonight and tomorrow night as well. And more details, always, ADSFR.com. You can get the lineup for the musical guests. You can also check the live leaderboard as fish start coming in. And I said that, too, that while the biggest of the big fish often come in on Sunday, people that are fishing here close to the island, not on overnight, not on extended trips like that, they'll start bringing some of those big fish in today because fish will lose weight in a cooler. So if you have a big king mackerel, right, you have a big red snapper, you're going to start seeing those come in today. They're not going to let them sit in the cooler. They're going to come weigh them in on Friday. If they catch them right now, if they're out there fishing right now and they catch them, they will bring them in to try to make sure they preserve as much weight in that fish to get themselves on the board. So good chance of seeing some real good fish here on a Friday.
Hey, those are some good tips, Sean. And let me add, if you are planning on going down to the island for the rodeo this week, or maybe you have other plans, well, you should head by Cottage Hill Package Store. Tonight, they've actually got a Props Brewery. They're from Fort Walton Beach. They're coming to Cottage Hill Package Store with a free tasting tonight. And if you go up there tonight, you can sample 3 of their 14 Gulf Coast-made craft beers. They'll have Blonde Bomber Ale. I've had that before. That's an awesome beer. Flying Coffin IPA, and Dos Pilotos Mexican-style Cerveza. Man, that sounds good. Now, Props Brewery is actually a veteran-owned and veteran-operated brewery. Just another reason to come on out tonight for the free tasting of the Props Brews. There's also 18 cold taps up front in the store, thousands of beers to choose from, thousands of cigars, and the fullest walk-in cooler in town. So lots of reasons to visit Cottage Hill Package. And if you live in Midtown or downtown, you can now get that Cottage Hill Package experience at Havana Ray's Cigar Shop and Lounge. I'll treat you with that famous Cottage Hill Package style and their brand new laid-back and comfortable lounge with comfy leather club chairs. Same great selection of spirits, beers, wines, and cigars that you expect from the Manis family and staff. Check them out online, cottagehillpackage.com, and they're at the corner of Hillcrest and Cottage Hill.
You know, we keep saying TGIF.
Dos Pilotos, right? Hey. Dos Pilotos, sí.
We keep saying TGIF. That F is going to turn into fish. Thanks, Sean.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Glad to have you along. And I'm doing my part of the show from the Mobile Command Unit right here at the rodeo site on Dolphin Island. Dalton Kelly holding things down back at the studio in Mobile. And looks like today, by the way, just weather-wise today, I think, you know, I was saying before the break, a good day to come down here and see some fish weighed in would be today. And also the weather offshore-wise is better today and about half day tomorrow. So I have a feeling that people who are going to kind of do their offshore fishing are going to do it today, tomorrow, and so you probably should have some good fish coming in. So just put that in your schedule of, you know, if you're going to try to come down and say, well, I don't know if I want to come down on Friday night or not, a pretty good chance there'll be some good fish weighed in this evening. And by the way, too, I will stay right here as Midday Mobile will be live from this very spot at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. All right, a couple things to talk about. Of course, the tragedy there in Branson on Table Rock Lake, and we're talking during the news break, too, some of those wind speeds. If we're talking about 74 miles an hour, like Kelly, you were saying, that's hurricane speed on those winds.
It's unbelievable. Just to see, when you see this video, Sean, I know you've seen it, Dalton, you've seen it. It's tragic because you think about the makeup of a boat like this amphibious vessel, because when you look at it, you can't tell whether or not there's windows on there. But the duck boats that we have gone on here in Mobile, what happens is if it's too hot, they're able to put, think of like a Jeep and how you're able to put the side windows down. They put the windows, they zip up the windows so that you can have AC running. Well, if it's a very nice day, or if it's rainy, if it's a very nice day, they can roll up those windows and you are able to put your hands out of you know, the windows if you want it to.
And I was just on one of these exact same, I don't know if it was the
same company, right?
Yeah, it was the same company. I was in Branson on a family get together last month, exactly a month ago. I came back from Branson, but we did a ride on the Ride the Ducks boat tour, and that's what this was, a Ride the Ducks boat that capsized last night. 13 people, the latest number that are dead. But there was most of our trip when we took on this Ride the Ducks tour, most of the trip was on land in this particular tour, taking us through the streets of Branson, kind of a tour guide trip, like just like they do downtown here. But the difference, when we talked to Scott Tindall earlier, the Gulf Coast Ducks boat tour here, they get in out of the water three times. On this Branson trip, they would get in the water once, and then they were supposed to come back up after that small trip. Well, they had this severe thunderstorm move through, and at least on my trip, it wasn't raining when I went on the Gulf, on the Ride the Ducks tour in Branson, but there was a part where sprinklers were spraying over the road, and during that, I did get to see the windows that they bring down, and it wasn't the ones that you zip up. They had those in the very front window for the driver, but the ones that were on this Ride the Ducks boat tour, it was more like a canopy outside of a camper where you push a button and these rolled straight down. I believe that I could have, if I really needed to get out, I could have moved that bar, but no telling what was going, what was happening when this storm moved through. Whether it looked like they were just, no one was coming off the boat in the video we've seen.
Yeah, and you don't know if, because once you hit the water, you know, you're encouraged here to, hey, walk around, move places so that you can see a different vantage point. You know, with families, a lot of times the kids like to sit up front, the parents in the back, and so of course a question may run through your brain like, well, why didn't they try to get out? If you have a child or maybe an elderly person, because Branson's known for you know, a great tourist attraction for our grandparents and great-grandparents, they can't move as quickly. And it is just such a sad story, because that first boat was able to safely get out of the water, get back on land, and they were having to watch what was taking place. Again, severe thunderstorm warning was in effect. One thing that I learned from Scott's interview is that I didn't realize that the wheels continue to turn while underwater.
And you lived in the Midwest for a time.
Kansas. Kansas City.
And these storms, I mean, there were tornadoes in Iowa last night also. Kind of lots of weather yesterday in the Midwest. But how fast, I'm just wondering, and we don't know the specifics right now, how fast can the thunderstorm, you know, like produce itself in the Midwest? How fast can something like that move through? Do you think there's a possibility they were in the water and it was all clear, and then a thunderstorm moves directly through?
I mean, I will say, having not been there, and I'm not a meteorologist, I can tell you, though, that the weather changes in an instant.
Yeah.
And we had five meteorologists on staff at the station I worked at, KCTV5, with their AMS seal. So weather is a priority. And, you know, we always let people know to be tuned in, because it can change so quickly. And unlike hurricanes, where you can plot them them out. Tornadoes, they pick up and then they turn. And you just have to be aware, and checking the weather conditions is a priority. And you have to wonder, you know, but with that warning in effect, though, why would they get in the water?
Yeah.
We've talked about, yes, it's a tourist attraction. Yes, there's money involved. But lives, you cannot put a price on lives.
On the... Yeah, Sean?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, the reason, you know, who knows what exactly went down there. But I do want to offer a couple things. Number one, about people saying, why couldn't these people get out? Well, once that duck boat got down to a certain distance, people know this with all kind of watercraft, as you get water pressure on the outside, then it's harder to get out, right? You get the basically, if you take your hand right on the surface of the water, like you played this game in the pool, right, where you do the explosion thing to splash somebody else, you just push your hand down, you make that concussive sound, that ba-boom. Well, that's pressure. As you are going down, that pressure is coming in. It's harder to push out, right? So that pressure of that water coming in could be. That's why, as it went down, why I can understand why more people couldn't get out because of that pressure. Now, earlier, I don't know. And you said, you know, why did they go that day? Well, number one, you're saying these storms can pop up pretty quickly. You know, you're looking at the Midwest. We're very, very hot here this weekend, Dr. Bill said. And the Midwest is baking 108 regular, not heat index degrees, but 108 in areas of Texas. As that happens, obviously, bigger, more, the hotter it is, as long as you have the humidity, the bigger the thunderstorms are going to be. They're trying to cool that back off. So you have these big thunderstorms. So these companies probably are dealing with the fact is, hey, it's hot and people want to be on the water. Mm-hmm. All right. It's hot and people want to be in the water. And I want to run these tours. And can I run this tour? And, you know, if we just shut down our business because we have a season, somewhere like Branson is not a 365 like
That's
we
right.
are.
That's right.
So they said, we've got a season. We've got to make this money to keep our business going, to keep our employees paid and all these things. And I'm not saying I wasn't there. I don't know what their motivations were, but you could wonder if they may say, you know, I mean, rain is rain. You know, we'll get this thunderstorm may or may not come here. They've been giving us these warnings for the last 3 or 4 days, and we've run 3 or 4 successful days of trips. Then the fifth day, you run the trip, right? I mean, I was just back from the Smoky Mountains, went rafting up there on the Nantahala, and they had a power line fall into the river while we were there, a power line. And they told us that we had gotten our briefing to go to the rafting trip, and they said, oh, by the way, a power line has fallen in the river. And at that point, I thought, okay, so let's take these life jackets off, and you'll give me my money back, and we'll all go do the train ride in Bryson City or something. And they said, no, we're still going to run. Mm-hmm. And I said, you just told me there's a power line down the river. They said, well, Duke Energy's here. They're getting the power line out. And okay. So they held everybody. They wouldn't let anybody go because their whole season is built on these few months of summer. And in that case, nothing against the company. They made sure it was safe and the power line was out of the water and the power was shut down. But they didn't even blink. They said, now y'all are going to stay here till we can run this trip. Mm-hmm. They weren't about starting to. And you think about some of the pressure on somebody who's in a summertime-related tourist business. Obviously, you have to be safe, but there is pressure that you got to run X number of trips to make this work because for 7 months of the year or 6 months of the year, you're not working.
And I can't say specifically what happened on this particular trip overnight, but when I was on a duck boat tour with the same company, they had all the life jackets before we even moved an inch. He gave the whole safety lesson that they give before these tours, you know, keep your hands inside the vehicle. If you weigh this much, if you're a little kid, there's those life jackets. If you're a medium-sized kid, here's these. And if you're an adult, this is where you go to get your life jacket. They went through that whole process, said exactly what was coming up on the tour. And I can't remember exactly what license the tour guide and the drivers said they had, but I do remember they said they had CDLs to drive on land, but they also had boating licenses. He said he had every license you could imagine, and you know, they went through the whole safety protocol and seemed to be a top company as far as that went. But we'll have to find out. I'm sure they're going to investigate this accident overnight.
And interviews are happening on national news, and you know, witnesses saying, just describing the debris that was just flying all around and how quickly the situation changed. And your heart hurts because you never want to lose anyone, but you think about children who are on, you know, this amphibious vessel. And I keep emphasizing that because it can go from land to water if you're not familiar with it. But again, what's different here that Scott pointed out is the coordination that we have routinely During every trip with the Coast Guard. And I've been on this duck boat with my family when they've said, we're stopping here because we need to get the all clear in order to take you into the water. Yes, it's about fun, but safety is a priority. And if you don't feel safe, you know, if you're kind of iffy about it, you can wear a life jacket while you're sitting there. If that helps you feel a little bit better, because right now we're dealing with 13 people, the death toll going up overnight, 13 people dead in this tragedy.
But let me just, once again, to put everything in context here, how many people died in vehicle crashes, not wearing seatbelts on their way to go to some kind of summertime activity. It's way more than 13, y'all.
Good point. 8:45 now on FM Talk 106.5. More Mobile Mornings on the way. We'll check in with Sean again down there on Dolphin Island, Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. We're coming right back. More Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you, Kane. 10 minutes till 9 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Dalton Orwig, Kelly Finley. Sean Sullivan's on Dolphin Island right now for the Alabama Deep Sea.
That's right.
He's working. He's working.
Working hard. I'm sure, Sean, you're licking your chops ready to get out there on the water, right?
You know, it is kind of tough. I mean, people say, oh, it's nice. Sullivan gets to be on the island. Well, you know what? I got Midday Mobile coming up. We got a bunch of things. I will not, other than maybe putting the boat in the water and tying it up, get any closer than that to fishing today. So, yeah, it is kind of tough because I'm watching everybody, the parade of boats coming past us, all the people heading out to fish. So it's fun to be here. But, yes, the temptation is right in front of my nose here. So I'm just dealing with that pressure.
Well, you're talking about the water. I'm talking about the newest vehicle that I'm driving. It's still unnamed. I'm feeling lucky.
Kelly.
You need to fix this.
Disappointed.
No, I'm feeling lucky tonight. I will name him. We will be at the Nappies as a team, and I know I can promise you. Matter of fact, I will tweet it out, his name.
Okay.
But until that time, let me tell you a little bit about him. This is a 7-seater CX-9. This is the Mazda CX-9. It is fantastic. We talk about, of course, the spacious leg room, the multiple cup holders, and the consoles. That is important because if you've ever been in a vehicle where there's not enough arm space, the situation changes quickly.
Uh-huh.
mine. This is a great vehicle from a recreational standpoint. If you're heading out and you need to, you know, dump a bunch of stuff inside the vehicle, you have three rows of seating. So if you don't use that third row, you can lay it down and you have that increased storage space. I hopped online because I like to read to you what you get to read as well, so you understand it's not just my take. This is the real deal, Holyfield, as they say. Of course, you have the rear privacy glass. You also have the push button start, which is fantastic. Rear view camera, which is, of course, from a safety aspect, is what you need to know when you have your people in the vehicle with you. Auto on and off headlights, heated outside mirrors. I love the fact when you use the lane keep assist that you can see it shows two little vehicles in your mirror.
Oh, cool.
So you understand that what's happening when you hear that beep, 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 beep. You also can gauge your fuel. You can see from a digital standpoint, because I'm visual, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So your readout shows you how much fuel you have, when you need to get your next maintenance. It is fantastic, and this is a great vehicle. He will be named shortly, I promise you. But I love the fact, as big as this vehicle is, there's still a sport mode. So you can really kick it into high gear when you need to go somewhere kind of quickly.
That's awesome.
If you'd like more information, be sure to go visit the all-new Dean McCrary Mazda dealership. They're located on the East Service Road of I-65.
So your perfect day would clearly involve driving around in a Dean McCrary Mazda, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's safe to say Sean's favorite day would involve him being on Dolphin Island at some form down there fishing or just hanging out. Well, there's this new study out there. They talked to 2,000 people and tried to break down their idea of a perfect day. And the average person, I guess through this study, they figured out that the average person says they have 15 perfect days a year. 15 out of the 365, they say, are just the perfect day. And here's the 10 things here, or 7 things that they said would make up their perfect day. All right, number one, they would wake up at 8:15 in the morning. Would that be perfect?
Nice.
Sound good? The second thing here, temperature is 74 degrees, and you get to spend 3 hours outside.
No, that's not warm enough for me.
The 74, not warm enough.
I need like 93.
Okay, I could go with 74, Sean.
42.
Oh, polar bear.
42, yes, yeah, 42 and cloudy. But no, in the 70s is good. I would take, for perfect day, depends on what time of year, what I'm trying to do, but from 65 to 78 sounds perfect.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I need it muy caliente.
I agree there with Sean. And 3 hours outside, they say. I mean, if it's that temperature, you have to spend that time outside. The third thing they have listed here for the perfect day, you see two friends and spend 3 hours socializing. I don't know. 3 hours.
It depends on who they are, really.
Yeah.
And what are you talking about?
Yeah, what kind of socializing?
I need more details before I agree to that.
Well, you might need more details on this next one. You spend 4 hours with your family.
I love that.
Which ones?
Which family?
Can we all go grocery shopping? That'd be fantastic.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Maybe go check out new vehicles. Oh, no. Being a kid, it's not fun when that happens. The fifth thing they have listed here, you spend 1 hour exercising, 2 hours reading, 3 hours watching TV, 3 hours listening to music, and 4 hours of relaxation. I think we're running out of hours in the day, actually, here.
What is this, like a 48-hour day?
That's what it seems like. But spending an hour of the day, of your perfect day, exercising. If I'm having the perfect day, I don't need to spend an hour exercising.
What kind of exercise? Because like I have the fun. I like to hike. I like to canoe. I like to kayak. And so if that counts as it, well, sure, sign me up. 8 hours
and the 2 hours reading, on top of the 3 hours you spend watching TV. A lot going on here. The sixth thing they have listed here, you spend 2 hours eating in the perfect day.
Just 2 hours?
Yeah, just 2 hours.
Thanksgiving is like an all day.
Yeah, but that's dining. That's a nice thing. You know, if you're going to have a fantasy to have a meal where you dine versus putting food in your mouth, which is what most families have to deal with during a weekday, right? Yep. It's just put food in mouth, get homework done, get next thing done. It would be nice to be able to kick back at least one of the meals and take 45 minutes to an hour to visit and talk and eat it slowly. You know, that'd be nice.
And just to piggyback on that, I think when I think about Thanksgiving and how you spend the day cooking with family if you're blessed enough to have them near you, and then you eat, you watch your football, and then you go back and eat again, and then you take a nap and you eat again.
I'll second that.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I find nothing wrong with that statement you just made. And after waking up at 8:15, they close out this perfect day in bed by 10:50. So there you go. And I actually did, I just added it up. This comes out to 25 hours. So the perfect day would actually...
is a liar face.
Yeah, maybe it has to be on a time change day, one of the daylight savings times days.
No, they're part of the liars contest.
The liars contest.
It is.
So 25 hours in the perfect day.
What did they say? So you're getting in bed at...
10:50. After waking up at 8:15.
The randomness of that bother. Yeah, why is it not, you know, of course, like a bunch of radio people, why is it not 10:30 or 10:45? Why is it not on the quarter hour? Uh-huh. Why is it 10:50? That seems very random, but all right, it's whatever they say.
So there you go. That's the perfect day. Maybe I'll have to write out my perfect day here in a little bit. But Sean, you're down there for the rodeo. That's a perfect day for you. What you got coming up for midday?
All right, so we got a lot coming up. Of course, we're going to talk about the news. We're going to talk about the latest with the offer to have Putin come back for some more chats this fall, as the president had John Bolton send that message to Moscow. So we'll see. We'll talk more about that. On a local level, we're going to be talking to members of the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo crew, the JCs, the history, and also what's going on down here today. And we'll see. I told Mayor Collier if he has time, he's going to stop by. We're talk about some of the goings-on on the island for the rest of the summer, and we will talk about the tough story here for us that, like Red Snapper Fishing, closes out on Sunday. We have an interview with Alabama Marine Resources Director Scott Bannon on the whys on that, and we'll get into that as well. Plus 6.5 stories with you, Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
You're bringing the heat today, right?
Yeah, fresh batch of 6.5 stories coming this way.
Jalapeno style.
Yes, like Buck brings them.
Yes, that's good stuff. And yeah, and by the way, I've got those jalapenos ready for stuffing and putting on the grill Saturday night. If y'all want to come down here to the house, come on, get some food.
Oh man. You're the best.
That sounds
Thank
good.
You, friend.
And that'll just about do it for us here, Mobile Mornings. Coming up, we got the Laura Ingram Show. No telling what she'll be talking about today. And then
I know. How about this quote? Say that again. Did I hear you? Okay, that's going to be special. That is the National Intelligence Director Coates reacting when he was told on stage by Andrea Mitchell that Putin is coming to D.C.
Big story. Hear Laura Ingram talk about it coming up next.
TGIF.
Midday Mobile at noon, and as Kelly just said, TGIF. Thanks.